There can be a lot to worry about when selling a car, but not when you donate it to Distinction. Donate your old car, truck, or RV to help pay for the programs you enjoy and rely on. Here's how.
Call 877-KPBS-CAR.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Tuesday, February 3rd. AG Rob Bonta sues Rady Children's Hospital over ending gender-affirming care. More on that next, but first, the headlines. The San Diego City Council yesterday evening voted unanimously to pass a resolution that pushes back on ICE tactics. Councilmember Marnie Von Wilpert brought the resolution forward. The resolution opposes what her office says is unnecessarily aggressive and excessive tactics by federal agents from the Department of Homeland Security. She says ICE operations have instilled fear in communities across the country and in the city of San Diego.
When federal agents create fear in our neighborhoods, when they target people based on how they look or sound, when they appear driven by quotas or financial incentives to arrest people on our streets, it damages that vital trust in our community and makes us all less safe.
The resolution calls on San Diego City Attorney Heather Ferbert to take legal action by way of filing an amicus brief on behalf of the city in support of states like Minnesota and Illinois and lawsuits they currently have against DHS. Those lawsuits were filed last month and challenged the current immigration enforcement efforts taking place under the Trump administration. Justin Rose on Sunday walked away as winner of the Farmers Insurance Open. The professional golf tournament takes place at the Torrey Pines Golf Course in La Jolla. The PGA Tour says that heading into the final day, the only thing that Rose was in competition with was the record books. Well, Justin was able to beat that by coming in at 23 under par and setting a new tournament record. PGA Tour says Rose is the first wire-to-wire winner at Torrey Pines in more than 70 years. Our warm winter weather is expected to continue through Thursday. The National Weather Service says that the temperatures will be 10 to 20 degrees above average near the coasts and in our valley areas. That means temps are expected to be as high as 85 degrees near the coast tomorrow, while inland areas could get up to 88 degrees. There will also be elevated surf and high tides today that could cause some minor coastal flooding. Weak to moderate Santa Ana winds are also expected tomorrow and Thursday. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Powerful people can abuse their position, and the community expects them to be held accountable. That's where the KPBS Investigations team comes in. If you have a tip for us, send an email to investigations@kpbs.org or message on the Signal app at 619-594-8177.
In a new lawsuit, California Attorney General Rob Bonta says Rady Children's Hospital's decision to end its gender-affirming care program is illegal. Health reporter Heidi DeMarco says the hospital plans to stop providing that care starting this Friday.
California Attorney General Rob Bonta says Rady Children's Hospital is required to maintain gender-affirming care through 2034 and cannot end the services without approval from the state. Bonta filed the lawsuit against the hospital on Friday. He argues Rady's decision violates California law and legally binding conditions tied to the hospital's merger with Children's Hospital of Orange County.
The Attorney General has asked for an injunction or a court order instructing Rady Children's to continue providing care while the lawsuit is pending.
Megan Knorr is an attorney at Transgender Law Center. She says hospitals across the country are reacting to pressure from the Trump administration.
All that's happened so far have been subpoenas and threats towards funding, but no concrete action has actually been taken. And so the compliance by the hospital systems is preemptive at this point.
In a statement, Rady Children's Hospital says it's reviewing the lawsuit. Heidi DeMarco, KPBS News.
A In San Diego County, black defendants are more likely than white defendants to face charges that can lead to life without parole, even for the same crime. In part one of this two-part series, reporter Katie Heisen speaks with a family whose lives are being shaped by that reality.
It's unfortunate how everything took place. It was a regular day.
On May 14th, 2022, Brittany and James Calloway brought their 10-month-old son to El Toyon Park in National City.
It was a family barbecue. So we were there, going there for a family event, a family gathering. And the events took a turn.
James Calloway describes himself as an ex-gang member. Before that day, his last conviction had been in 2019. He says he turned his life around, started a trucking company. He spoke with me from a county jail. I took his video call from his toddler's iPad.
My day-to-day life was going to work, driving trucks, coming home, and being a dad.
According to court documents, Caleb Stacy was another member of Calloway's former gang. He was 28. While the Calloways were at the park, Stacy left his job and rode his motorcycle there. Stacy called James Calloway over and pulled two guns on him. He'd heard rumors that Brittany was a snitch. Calloway says Stacy threatened to kill him, Brittany, and their baby. Others managed to talk Stacy down. He drove his motorcycle away and stopped nearby.
What was I supposed to do besides what I did?
Calloway ran to his car, drove up to Stacy, and shot him dead.
Men have an obligation that they did not ask for, and that is protecting your family. And that is taught and instilled upon us as kids.
Brittany Calloway says the eventual charges surprised them.
But when we heard that it was first degree, we were just like, it was a shock. Because how? Like, how and why? This is, if at most, self-defense or involuntary.
The first degree murder charge isn't the reason Calloway is facing life without parole. If he had walked up to Stacy and shot him, he might have the chance at parole. But because he fired from a vehicle, he was sentenced to die in prison. It's one of the special circumstances in California law that can lead to life without parole. The list is a large patchwork. If the murder was committed for money, if the victim was a firefighter, if the defendant used poison or wrecked a train. The list was created in 1977 as a way to limit who could receive the death penalty and life without parole to the worst of the worst, after the Supreme Court said they were being given too randomly. But ballot measures kept expanding the list by popular demand. A 1978 voter guide reads, "If Charles Manson were to order his family of drug-crazed killers to slaughter your family, Manson would not receive the death penalty." That proposition passed, more than doubling the list. The list got so long that by the 90s, nearly all first-degree murders were eligible for special circumstances in California. Calloway's special circumstance, shooting from a vehicle, was added in 1996 to combat drive-by gang shootings. All this history is now bearing down on Calloway.
It's been extremely hard just thinking about not being able to hold my son, just not being able to be a father.
Brittany Calloway is now raising five children on her own. She started working overnight shifts at a hospital. She's almost 9 months pregnant. Her second surrogacy pregnancy to make ends meet since James was incarcerated. Their baby is now four. She shows him pictures of his father, tells him, "That's your dad," repeats it over and over like a flashcard, hoping it will stick.
He hasn't held our son in years. I haven't touched him or hugged him or anything in years.
It's entirely up to the district attorney whether to charge special circumstances in a case. Brittany Calloway believes everything would be different if her husband weren't black.
If he was a white man, this would have happened.
James Calloway filed a motion requesting resentencing based on racial bias in his case. His hearing's in April. His lawyer plans to bring up the district attorney's own data. It shows not only a racial gap and who receives special circumstance charges, but that after Summer Steffen became the district attorney in 2017, it got wider. That's part two tomorrow. Katie Heisen, KPBS News.
San Diego County has cut ties with a top official in its Department of Animal Services. Reporter Elaine Alfaro says Rachel Borelli's departure comes after KPBS uncovered an obscene message she sent regarding animals in the county's care.
A San Diego County official has confirmed that Rachel Borelli is no longer employed by the county. Borelli was the second in command at the Department of Animal Services, but she went on leave in September, just as KPBS uncovered the crude voice message she sent in 2024 regarding dogs at the county's Carlsbad shelter.
I'm so sick of us keeping dogs that aren't going to get adopted. That's why we're overcrowded. Call me heartless, but I'm also realistic.
KPBS spoke with former volunteers and staff who questioned Borelli's decisions on dog euthanasias. Molly Higgins is a former Carlsbad shelter volunteer.
It was a small measure of justice, for sure, for all the animals, innocent animals, especially dogs who died, who were euthanized.
Borelli sent an apology letter to department leadership last year. On Monday, she declined a KPBS interview request. Elaine Alfaro, KPBS News.
The proposal that would have raised an annual tax on empty second homes and vacation rentals has failed. For our weekly Why It Matters segment, Voice of San Diego's Scott Lewis says the debate over housing for visitors versus residents is not over yet.
There were two very different worldviews on display when the proposal died at a city council committee hearing. Council member Sean Elo Rivera said his main hope was that the tax would tip the balance for property owners and prompt them to sell. That created a political bridge between him and people who often oppose him, people worried about their neighborhoods getting taken over by short-term rentals, especially near the coast. The opposition, led in part by Councilmember Raul Campillo, came from those supporting people who rent out to vacationers. But in the end, the vote to watch was Councilmember Kent Lee. He said the tax's revenue outcomes were too uncertain, it may hurt the city's bottom line, and he would not support it. But he said the issue is not over.
I just want to note that my position on this specific measure does not take away from my belief that short-term rentals do have an impact on local housing. And I look forward to continuing the critical discussions necessary to address housing capacity, housing stock, and housing affordability on that front.
One of the groups who opposed it was the Laborers Union. The union wants to put a sales tax on the ballot, mostly for infrastructure. They thought the vacation rental tax would hurt its chances. For Voice of San Diego, I'm Scott Lewis, and that's why it matters.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
People can abuse their position, and the community expects them to be held accountable. That's where the KPBS Investigations team comes in. If you have a tip for us, send an email to investigations@kpbs.org or message on the Signal app at 619-594-8177.